Well, today we are doing Samson, the unstable strong man. Samson is he's a judge of Israel, and the likeness that the lesson tries to make to parallel with today is that sometimes the church today, like the Pentecostal churches, we Assembly of God was started in an abandoned place on Azusa Street Los Angeles. Yeah, I was going to say San Francisco, but I knew that wasn't right. In Los Angeles. So we started there with maybe 40, 50 people. So almost all the Pentecostal denominations began in Los Angeles at this Azusa Street revival that went on for 3, 4, 5 months. I don't know. I forget the amount of time. It went on for a number of months. Yes? Oh, that was more recent. Yeah, that was kind of like a church had a very, how can I say, an outpouring? Brownsville, yeah. Brownsville. Yeah, so there's been a number of, say it were outpourings, but what happened was that the renewal that happened in Azusa Street was about 1904, 1905. Then from there, all of the Pentecostal churches got started. But in the 60s at Duquesne, in Pittsburgh, began the charismatic movement within the Catholic Church, which was the same thing that started at the Azusa Street, and the renewal that started within the denominational churches began then at Notre Dame, and it was at in Pittsburgh. And anyhow, that was the workings of the Holy Spirit at that time, and began to work within the Catholic Church. So what they were talking about with Samson is that Samson became self-sufficient. So we look at the church today, the church as we know it, as for our denomination and so on, you have gone from the wrong side of the tracks and uneducated people becoming clergy to having some of the highest educated people in the country that belong to our churches, and the churches have gone from being the little place across the track to some of the largest churches in the world, and very wealthy. I mean, there's a church in Erie. They used to give like $7 million a year to missions, just to missions. So, we've gone from being the church across the tracks to becoming one of the largest, well, the fastest growing denomination in the world, the charismatic, the renewal of over 600 million adherents. So most of that isn't in the United States. Most of it is around the world. And so it's become this great influence in our society. But the rebuke that comes in the book of Revelation is a self-sufficiency. It's as if we are able to do this on our own. And some of the sermons that we've been speaking on the last few weeks have been about being thankful and acknowledging God, and going to continue that theme today. But being thankful for each situation you're in and acknowledging God where you are at, and acknowledge Him means asking Him for help or relying upon God to be with you as you're driving down the road, as you're presenting, as you're talking to friends, as you're going grocery shopping, as you're sitting in your house. We don't allow the wrong thoughts to come into our minds. We are renewed in our spirit, renewed in our walk with God, so we are dependent upon Him. So we find with Samson, I think Samson is a very sad story, I think. It's a sad story of a man who was set aside from before his birth to be a judge, to be a person that was going to rule Israel, as it were, to bring Israel back into compliance. Most of the time we think of Samson, I didn't realize that he was a judge for over 20 years, and that in his work of service, we generally see Samson as the guy who got caught up with his women. You know, he allowed himself to be entrapped or enslaved by his desire for women. So we find that kind of from the very beginning of his life, he is deceived. It's interesting, not interesting, but it's how that. What is? I think one time I heard an individual preach. I couldn't find this part, but I listened to the whole thing. But the first thing said about Samson was about his eyes, you know, that he looked. And that, and we see that in one of the last things to be done with him was his eyes were put out. And so that he would no longer see the things that were deceiving him and being deceptive to him. So what does that tell us? It says you better watch what you're doing. No. Watch where you're looking. So, but today's lesson is Samson's miraculous birth in chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Okay? So 40 years now, the Philistines, this group of individuals, the commentary says that they are probably they've probably migrated from Greece, and they settled in southwest Palestine on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea in the area that is now called the Gaza Strip. So these Philistines migrated down from the north, and they found their ability to build fortresses. And they also, what the Philistines talk about, the difference between the Bronze Age and the Iron Age, the Philistines were able, they were the Iron Age people that have brought their metalworking with them to Palestine area, to Israel, to the Gaza Strip. And the Israel is still in the Bronze Age. They are still making swords and things out of bronze. And of course, the iron is capable of just wreaking havoc on a soldier with a bronze sword. So this was the, and you put that age time in there, the difference in the Bronze Age and the Iron Age in history. This is what time period is going on. So Israel had, again, this is the seventh time, this is the seventh judge that has come to Israel. And the Philistines had been, you know, ruling over or conquering or over, raiding the Jewish settlements, and had done so for 40 years. And one of the things also is they weren't crying to the Lord for help. I mean, they were just, went back to that slave mentality. These people are going to rule over, and it's the best thing we can hope for. So they just prayed to the gods of the Philistines and kind of forgot about God. Well, God didn't forget about them. So one of the things I think there's a number of things in this lesson is that God doesn't forget about us. So, you know, there's a scripture that says the calling of God is without reproach, meaning that what God calls us to do is never withdrawn. So what God calls us to do, he doesn't repent, as it were, go back on his word. So the promise that he made to Abraham, it's a promise that he continues to fulfill, even though the people, the descendants of Abraham, are not following God. They're out doing their thing and worshiping other gods, and they are now subject to this foreign land, these foreign powers coming into their land. So God comes in verse 2, and there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Dantes, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren. We don't even have her name. His wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. So We have seen then Israel's repeated cycles of, you know, coming to God, falling away from God, coming to God, falling away from God. What we find in the nation of Israel, in the Old Testament, God dealt with the people as a nation. Okay? So the nation has sinned. The nation has fallen away from God. The nation has come back. Well, in the New Testament, it's the individual. And the individual makes up the body of Christ. So we find then that what happened to Israel as a nation, we see can happen to us as individuals, and how that God, and one of the things that I like about the judges is that in this case, the spirit, you know, for Samson, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. Now, whenever we, in the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So, Samson was able to do great feats of strength because of the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him, and he was called by God before he was born. He was called by God before he was born. So, in us, whenever we think of how that God, while we were yet in our mother's womb, he formed us, he knew us, and he put in there what we need, who we needed to be, all that we needed to have in order to become what he wants us to do. So this Samson here is kind of like a like us, and how that he, you know, we can go either way. We have freedom to make our choices and serve God, or, you know, get caught off guard and go do our own thing and lose out. But the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and I think of it in our lives how that the Spirit of the Lord is the one who gives us unction, as in go do this or don't do this, don't go there, that conviction that says this isn't good for you, okay? So the same Spirit that came upon Samson is the same Spirit that abides within us. It's the Holy Spirit. The angel of the Lord that appeared to the woman is Jesus Christ. They call it theophany, a pre-birth appearance of Jesus. So Jesus appears to us, and here is this woman who is barren. Jesus appears to us, and we are dead in our trespasses and sin, but we are made alive in Christ, and we become fruitful. I mean, there's the parallels that we see from the nation of Israel and even the individuals that God calls upon, that like when God called upon Abraham and made a promise that, you know, from you all the descendants, all the nations of the world will be blessed. We're part of that promise. But also God promises us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just like he made a promise to Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed, God makes a promise to us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never abandon you. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those are promises that God says that he will do in us and through us because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. So whenever we start to understand, like Samson here, he has so much power. What is the thing that we doubt the most in our life? Well, I can't do this and I can't do that. I don't have the strength to do this. I don't have the knowledge. We always are disqualifying ourselves, and the Spirit is telling us, I don't want you to do it on your own. You're not supposed to do this on your own. You know, we're supposed to acknowledge God and depend upon him to move upon us when we find ourselves in those places of need. Okay? So, this lady sees, she's barren, and the angel of the Lord comes to her and says that she's going to have a child. Now, therefore, verse 4, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So not only is Samson going to be blessed by the Spirit of God and become this, have this Nazirite vow? Most of the time, if someone took on this Nazirite vow, it was for a few months or whatever, for a time, period of time. But Samson was to have this vow his entire life. And it would, and the vow began with his mother before she even conceived. So if there is a perfect place and a perfect person, you know, a perfect way that a child is to be conceived developed in the womb, it's Samson. So here we go, you know, here's this perfect man. He is going to be the perfect man of God. And it doesn't work that way. But it does. One of the things I in the commentary, and again, I can be, well, we'll go on a little bit. When she went and told her husband, you know, this angel came to me and told me that I'm going to have a child. And while, of course, a man full of faith says, I don't believe you. If he comes to you again, I want to talk to him. I always loved that. Yeah, I'm sure he did, honey. When he comes to you again, make sure you come get me, okay? You've been barren all this time. You think you're going to have a child? This guy comes back to you. Who are you talking to? So. Yeah. Well, and again. Yeah. But you see, and that even makes it, remember, was it last week? I don't want to die from a woman throwing a grinding stone on my head. He wanted his servant to kill him because that was so ignoble for, you know, die at the hands of a woman, you know? Well, they had seemingly no value because they were property, and here they are able to destroy individuals. They can be used by God. In this case, you know, the guy that had the tent peg stuck in his head and the grinding millstone thrown and broken his head and fractured his skull, and Samson destroyed. So there, and I think of it in the context that it isn't that women are of no value. It's that even the people who are considered the least can cause the mighty to fall. And so that's why we don't think of ourselves too highly as we ought. You know, don't think of yourselves more. And the other side, don't get so don't have so much pride that you think it's all about you. You know, I've got all this big harvest. I've got barns. What am I going to do? I'm going to build bigger barns. Okay, that's pride. Having a healthy pride in what we do is seeing how that God is going to bless us, bless our children, bless our grandkids. How that God is going, that's not a foolish pride. That's a pride built on God's word. So anyhow, the angel of the Lord appears to her. She goes back and says, you wait here, I'm going to go get my husband. Husband comes out and he tells him the same thing. And so he makes a sacrifice there on a rock. And in the smoke and the fire going towards heaven, that the angel of the Lord was in that smoke and the fire and ascended to heaven, then they knew that it was God who made the promise. So, one of the things here, it says that, I don't know if I didn't do enough research, you know, on this idea, but it says that that he was to be a judge, and that his being a judge, the commentary said that he should have organized an army and then fought against the Philistines. Okay, he didn't do it the right way. He should have organized an army and led an army. Well, doesn't work that way. When David was watching the sheep, he killed the lion and the bear with the sling. Then he went out and killed Goliath. While the lion attacks Samson, he rips it apart with his bare hands. I mean, you know, the spirit stirs him and he just rips this lion apart. And so it's kind of like an affirmation, Samson, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Well, one of the other things that happened, he wants this woman who's a Philistine woman. This is when he first begins his ministry, his being judge. He goes down to this woman and he gives them a riddle, and and his wife is begging him and begging him, tell me the answer. And so after, because her people are threatening her and her family, they're going to burn down her house and kill her family unless she comes up with the answer to the riddle. So she begs and pleads with Samson. Finally, on the last day, he tells his wife, and she goes and tells them. They come and tell Samson, now you owe us 30 garments. And Samson gets mad and goes out and kills 30 people and brings back 30 garments, throws it to the Philistines and said, there you are, 30 garments. And he walks away from his wife and goes back home. That's in there. She nags him to death. Yeah, she nagged him till he wouldn't. But anyhow, that's there. Now, 20 years now have elapsed. And it came to pass, and this is in chapter 16, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. So 20 years now, 20 years later from the first woman, and we don't know a lot of what happens in the middle. He gets upset and he catches 300 foxes. Now, this guy's got to be pretty fast. He catches 300 foxes and takes two of them, ties their tails together, lights it with fire, and sends them out through the fields to burn the grain of the Philistines, So Samson's kind of different. And prior to this also, they locked him up. They were going to go get him in the city, and he tore the gates off the city and carried the gates up over the hill and, put them down. He did phenomenal things. Killed how many thousand with the jawbone of a donkey? I mean, Samson is a person to be feared by the Philistines. So it's almost as if he doesn't have to have an army. He's an army of one that people, the Philistines were afraid of and kind of kept them in line. And the children of Israel were thankful they had a judge and so on. But afterwards came to pass that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Well, Samson's willfulness and self-centeredness are evident throughout the stories here through chapter 14 and 16. So Samson's sin is his strength because he becomes self-sufficient. And, in one of the things that goes into our day and age that is that we become self-sufficient. We can survive on our own without God. And that's not true, but we can come to that conclusion. What else? So why did God allow Samson? Why did he anoint him with the Holy Spirit, and even though he had sinned so much? Samson had made so many mistakes that if it were us, we'd say, I take that away from you. But you see, what God gives to us, he doesn't remove. We hide it, or we don't believe it. And so sometimes I think that the circumstances we find ourselves in are very much a part of how we are to discover the abilities that lie within us. You see, we find ourselves in positions that we're not comfortable with, and we then put up these boundaries. In the Psalms it says one of the things is to enlarge your borders. So we often think that we live in a box, and whenever we come close to our borders, we become uncomfortable. So we kind of stay in the middle, And God is telling us, push out your borders, push out your boundaries. that you don't have to live by those boundaries, because when God calls us to do something, which we find ourselves in, that he gives us the grace and the mercy to do what we thought we couldn't do. So whenever we find ourselves being pushed into situations that we don't want, guess what? God is there to give us the strength to do it. The wisdom, the understanding, the power, the ability, whatever we need, it's there for us, because God says he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So when we find ourselves being boxed in, that's the time we need to say, okay, God, I'm not boxed in. I need your Holy Spirit has come upon me to teach me, to train me, to expand my boundaries, and we're capable of doing things we never thought we could do before. Amen. You know? So God is free to give his power to whomsoever he will. That the Holy, and this fits with that in the gifts, in the giving of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about how that he divides his gifts severally as he wills. So the anointing that he had upon Samson was upon Samson for the task that was before him, and Samson kind of went off on his own selfish ways, but God didn't abandon him. And the same thing is our life, that God hasn't abandoned us. God is empowering us, and he pours out his Spirit, gives his Spirit severally as he wills. See? So God isn't playing favorite. He's getting us in a place where we can be receptive to what he has given to us. Now, God doesn't give us something so we can set it on the shelf. He gives us something because it's what we need in our work of service for him. And wherever we find ourselves at, God is there. So the empowerment of the Spirit in for Samson and all of the other judges doesn't mean it's a sign of spiritual maturity. Because someone has the workings and the gifts of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean they're spiritually mature. Just means that God gave them severally as he wills, and they need to go towards maturity, but sometimes people try to take the shortcut, and it doesn't work. Nowhere in the Judges is the sin excused or disobedience treated lightly, so they don't get off easy because they're a judge. So the focus in Israel was more on the whole people, a national sin. Sometimes the judges, what Samson... It can be also what Samson did in his life is very symbolic of what was going on in the nation of Israel. That they themselves, even though Samson was to judge them so that they would come back and keep going to God, that Samson's life and his actions was very much reflective of what Israel was like. So, and God didn't give up on Israel, didn't give up on Samson. It's both. It happens both ways, you know. In that, see, in Israel, what's that? No, in a national sense, okay. We have America, USA. All right. Now, we have rampant sin, drug problems, gang problems. The whole works. I mean, we, you know, prostitution, human trafficking, gambling. I mean, we've got it all. But in the same token, we have the church. And where the church is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, what's the scripture says, that even though Satan comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. Okay? Now, that word, when evil comes in like a flood, someone had taken that and put the comma in a different place. When evil comes in, comma, like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Okay? So, yes, we have all this evil, but yes, we have the church. Yes. We're trying. Yeah. You know, we're in a fight for, you know, and what is conservative and what is liberal? You know, my son, he says, you know, in other nations, that they see that we are a Christian nation, but yet they see us also bombing and killing and everything else, and they say, well, Christians are no different than us. They kill just like we do. Well, we call ourselves a Christian nation, but we're not really a Christian nation. There is a difference. And so, in the name of God, we're going to go kill you. Well, that's not Christian. You know, and just like the Crusaders back in, when they went back down to Israel to liberate Jerusalem. I mean, they killed everybody. I mean, it was terrible. They went in the name of God, but it was basically to conquer lands and conquer people and, you know. Pardon? Yeah. You know, it's like, people, they had the wrong motives, had the wrong actions, and some people went with the right motives and actions, and it's just like it was a big mess. And, you know, so we've got to be careful that as a Christian, love thy neighbor, pray for your enemies, do good to those who despitefully use you, you know, those types of things. So, yes, we have, God is going to judge us, but he's also going to protect us. Now, how that all comes about in the rapture or in the life of the nation is up to us taking care of our part where we are at. So, well, and Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray you, where thy great strength lieth and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Now, you would think that sooner or later he would smarten up. Love is blind, and whatever he is. So anyhow, he says, 7 bowstrings, so they tied him up, and that didn't work. 7 new ropes, they tied him up, and didn't work. Then he said, if you weave my hair into the womb, my 7 braids, the braiding womb that they, so they braided his hair into this machine. This guy was a sound sleeper. they braided his hair into this rug, and he wakes up and tears everything apart, you know. When is he going to get it that she's not on his side? Well, finally, she, constant nagging, sick to death. I can't stand it anymore, her constant nagging. Then get out of town. So it isn't her fault. It's his. He was in the wrong place. He had the wrong motive. He had the wrong thing in mind. And he was not honoring the gift that God had given him. In fact, he was abusing it. And he was self-reliant because when the Philistines came upon him, the Spirit of the Lord stirred in him. That was his gifting. Even though he was in the wrong place doing the wrong thing, God didn't leave him until he broke his vow. Then his strength left him, but God didn't leave him. All right? He was, as it were, left to the follies of his sin. And sin came in, and Philistines came, and they woke him out of his sleep, and he didn't have any strength. He was as any other man, and they bound him and put him in a prison and put out his eyes. But the Lord of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon. That's verse 23, their God. And to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. God, their God hadn't delivered him. Samson allowed himself. Samson put him in a place, put himself in a place where he left God out. See? God doesn't leave us. We leave him. And in this case, he left God, Samson left God with his final act of giving away his divine privilege. Well, Samson's, whenever he says, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry, and they said, call for Samson that we may make sport of him. So they were really celebrating how that their God had conquered Israel, and Israel's God brings Samson out, and we're gonna teach him a lesson. We're gonna make sport of him. And Samson called unto the Lord. They put him in this big temple, and it's this huge temple with the roof and corridors or whatever, and they put him on the main pillars. And the Lord God remembered me. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged to the Philistines for my two eyes. So Samson comes back to the place in his spiritual life and in his mental awareness and his spiritual awareness that I can't do this on my own. You know, he found his place. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself and with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. So that's Samson. It's a sad story of someone who didn't appreciate the giftings that they had. You know, making little of what God has given to us. And I think that in our own life, we need to be thankful to God for where we are at, and that where we're going through, and that we have strength to live our life every day before God. And nothing can separate us, and no problem is going to come between us, and we never leave God out by thinking we are self-sufficient. We've got it made now, and that's when we're in danger. I can build bigger barns. Nope. I can serve God more completely and more fully with what he has given me. So, thoughts on Samson? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just, you know, he was self-sufficient. He was a judge. He could walk around anywhere he wanted and get whatever he wanted, and people were afraid of him. They weren't drawn to God. You know, they were afraid of the God of Samson. And I think sometimes people are afraid of God that people preach. And they don't need to be afraid of the God that we preach. They need to be understanding the God that we speak of loves them. And we don't create that fear in people. Anything else? So what do you think of Samson? Tragedy. He's tragic, but God doesn't give up on him. God never gives up on us. So no matter how far away people have gone from God, God doesn't give up on them. So anyone can be saved. So we don't give up on people. What else? Anything else? God does not forget. What God calls us is never withdrawn. Never. It's ours. It's what we were created for. And no matter where we're at in our life, God is going to bring us to that point. I'll close with this one. I like the idea that, you know how you go down the road, you have the old GPS systems. You know, you go down the road and you don't make the right turn, it says recalculating. Well, every time we do the wrong thing and stay off of God's road, he's always recalculating how he can get us back to where we need to be. And that's what happened with Samson. He kept recalculating. Samson, and finally he takes the putting out of his eyes and his imprisonment to bring him to the point in time where he finished his time as a judge and ruler of Israel. So recalculate. God never gives up on you or on anyone else. Thank you, God, for blessing us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, God, that you give us the strength, open our eyes that we can see the truth, open our ears that we can hear what your spirit says, and our hearts, oh God, to be receptive of your word, and that we might speak your truth in love and be filled with your Spirit to accomplish your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.